weekend, you can keep in touch while you're on the go. Frank Musser here for regular host Brad Crandall. This week in Washington, the automobile industry was both criticized and defended. Some of the highlights of the controversy coming up shortly.
My mother says that little girls were made of sugar. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
My mother says my life will be a wide, white ribbon. Happy birthday.
Dana Valerie on Monitor.
This Christmas, tell her all the things she is with Chanel No. 5. Every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5.
On Capitol Hill this week, a Senate subcommittee was told that the average car owner was unable to get adequate, safe, economic repairs for his automobile. Charges of dishonesty and carelessness were made, and much of the blame for the allegations was placed on franchise new car dealers. With a special report on the hearings, including highlights of the testimony, here is Paul Duke, NBC News, Washington.
The chief critic at the hearings was William Leonard, a consultant to the Federal Trade Commission. He testified that sales pressure from the automobile manufacturers is producing rackets that include cheating on parts and warranties.
Most dealers have continuing franchises and can be canceled in 30 to 90 days' notice. And I think this is crucial here, gentlemen. The insistent pressure of the manufacturer on the dealer to sell cars with all kinds of schemes and competitions and gimmicks to do this, and the overloading of the dealer, particularly with new cars, that is, at the end of a model year, the always present threat of cancellation for failure to make factory set quotas makes new car sales the overwhelming concern of the dealer. So he hires a service manager who operates that side of the business. He concentrates his work in the front office on selling cars. But the realities of the situation are very simple. Detroit controls this relationship. Detroit's interest is in selling cars. Sales of new motor cars with accessories probably account for 9 to 10 times the receipt derived from the sale of replacement parts, which are involved with service. So the manufacturer looks to his dealer primarily for sales, and service becomes, to use an industry expression, a necessary evil.
Senator Roman Ruska of Nebraska thought some of the criticism was exaggerated, and in an exchange with Leonard, suggested the wrong committee was hearing his charges.
We have a committee that deals with organized crime. care we find. Organized crime deals with rackets, and here there are all kinds of rackets that we're going to have to inquire into. The accessories racket, the used car racket, the service racket, the parts racket, and other rackets. So I don't know, maybe this is the wrong forum, as we lawyers sometimes say.
I'm only concerned that it perform its service to the American public better. I'm looking at it, sir, from a public point of view. I'd like to see the customer get better service. And if part of the source of the difficulty is the present system of poor relations under the franchise between the manufacturer and the dealer, the various kinds of flat rate systems and compensation for warranty repairs and other systems have been set up which create conditions under which the dealer does give poor service, then I think that concerns me, as I'm sure it concerns you also.
But a representative of the Car Dealers Association said that dealers are being made a whipping boy, that most Americans are satisfied with the service they get. The Congressional Committee will report next year. Paul Duke, NBC News, Washington.
For in-depth background to the week's major stories, as well as immediate reports on all developing news over the weekend, always stay tuned to Monitor. Nostalgia is every bit as much a part of this season as jolliness. Mr. Sinatra proves the point.
Whatever happened to Christmas? It's gone and left no traces. Whatever happened to the faces all aglow? Whatever happened to Christmas, to the Christmas way of living? Whatever happened to the giving, the magic in the snow? Remember the sights and the smells and the sounds, and remember the cheery call. Remember love was all around. Whatever happened? Whatever happened to Christmas? The bells in the streets are ringing. Whatever happened to the singing, the songs we used to know? Whatever happened to Christmas?
Sunday is one of the sportiest days of the week. We'll have all the late scores and stories shortly on the Monitor Beacon.
Oh, stewardess, pardon me. Is this all you have?
Yes, I'm sorry, sir. That's a standard meal on this flight.
But I'm not sure I want this.
I wish I could give you a choice, sir.
Well, what is it?
Oh, it's delicious.
No choice, huh?
Sorry.
Gee, I'd really prefer something else.
On most airlines, you either eat what's put in front of you or go hungry. But not on Eastern. Only Eastern gives you something else on coach flights to Miami. For lunch or dinner, you get steak or something else. Lobster tails. On snack flights, something else. Delicious delicatessen sandwiches. Eastern flies more people to Miami than any other airline. And beginning December 18th, you can choose something else from all three New York airports. Something else. One more way Eastern makes it easier to fly.
Eastern makes it easier to fly.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York. Monitor, back with you at exactly 19 minutes after the hour. And the lady who's talking about leaving is Michelle Lee.
No job going is good. Knowing when to leave may be the smartest thing that anyone can learn. No. I'm afraid my
wins Century Division title. Baltimore takes Coastal Division crown. O.J. Simpson headed for Buffalo. Or is he? I'll return with the stories behind those headlines next up on Monitor Sports, brought to you by State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's largest homeowners insurance company.
Hi, I'm Phil Foster. The other day, I invited my brother-in-law, Kevin, over to see my new pop-art painting by Picasso. He said, Phil, that's nothing but a great big red and white State Farm bumper sticker. What's it supposed to mean? I'll tell you, Kevin, I says, that big sticker means that my house and everything in it is protected by State Farm Fire and Casualty in case of fire, storm, burglars. It can even protect me in the event of a liability lawsuit. And it also means that I save money because State Farm, the world's biggest home insurer, is famous for low rates. Kevin took a real close look at the painting. Well, he said, I must admit that it does reveal a perfect relationship of color value, composition unity, and polychromatic technique. It could only have been done by Picasso. Right, Kevin, I said. Ralph Picasso, my State Farm agent.
For your home, your car, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
On the Monitor Pro Football scoreboard, Cleveland clinched the NFL's Century Division title by beating Washington 28-21 and will face Dallas for the Eastern Conference Championship in Cleveland on December 21st. The Cowboys, who already had won the Capital Division crown, defeated Pittsburgh 28-7 to give them their best record ever with one more game remaining. Philadelphia won its second game of the season, downing New Orleans 29-17 in what was billed as the Boycott Bowl. An independent committee of fans in Philadelphia had asked other fans to stay away in protest against the regime of Eagle coach general manager Joe Q. Herrick. But better than 57,000 turned out in Franklin Field, which seats 60,000. The defeat left New Orleans winless in seven games. Detroit, which also was working on a seven-game winless streak, finally broke it today at the expense of Atlanta. The score was 24-7, with Bill Munson passing for three touchdowns to Billy Gambrell. St. Louis turned back the New York Giants 28-21 in a wild game that wasn't decided until 7:23 of the final period. After Lonnie Sanders intercepted Fran Tarkenton, Willis Crenshaw scored the last of his three touchdowns from 2 yards out. Minnesota, which failed to score a touchdown in its last two games, got three today and turned back San Francisco 30-20. Joe Capp ran for two touchdowns and passed for a third. Chicago nipped Los Angeles 17-16 with these results. The Ram loss enabled idle Baltimore to clinch the Coastal Division title. Chicago and Minnesota remain tied for the Central Division title, both with 7-6 records. And Green Bay was eliminated from title contention, ending the Packers' bid for a fourth straight NFL championship. Chicago won it today on a 20-yard field goal by Mac Percival and two short touchdown runs, 2 yards by Brian Piccolo and 4 by Jack Concannon. In the American Football League, Eastern Division winner New York warmed up for the league's December 29th title game by beating Cincinnati 27-14. The Jets' Jim Turner raised his league-leading point total to 138 with 3 conversions and 2 field goals. He's got 33 field goals for the season. The Bengals' Paul Robinson became the first AFL rookie to rush for more than 1,000 yards. He picked up 33 today for a total of 1,023. Miami scored its first home victory of the season, downing Boston 38-7. Western Division co-leader Kansas City romped over San Diego 40-3 to eliminate the Chargers from title contention. Len Dawson passed for 3 chief touchdowns, including a 68-yarder to Frank Pitts. Oakland remained tied with Kansas City for the lead by edging Denver 33-27. The Raiders and Chiefs have records of 11-2. Next week, Kansas City is at Denver and Oakland is at San Diego. USC's Heisman Trophy winner O.J. Simpson says he wants to play pro football in the NFL and on the coast, Los Angeles or San Francisco. But he's headed for Buffalo of the AFL, or maybe he isn't. The Bills, with the worst record in pro football, just one victory, won the right to pick first in next month's draft when Philadelphia won its second game of the season today. However, Buffalo coach Harvey Johnson said today he wasn't sure the Bills would take Simpson, and no decision will be reached until after the bowl games when he sits down with Buffalo owner Ralph Wilson. And finally, Virginia Tech coach Jerry Claiborne has been asked to take over the head coaching reins at Baylor. Claiborne said he'd make a decision after next Saturday's Liberty Bowl game against Ole Miss. And that is the late sports news. Next, a Monitor News feature. With division continuing to rock both the laity and hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church, the personal concern of Pope Paul VI becomes increasingly apparent. Here with a report on the possibility of a papal resignation is Dennis Redmont, NBC News, Rome.
Every day, Pope Paul VI is looking and sounding more depressed about the problems which are assailing the Roman Catholic Church. And inevitably, speculation has arisen once again in the Vatican. Will the Pope resign? Yesterday, sounding troubled and worn, the Pope told a group of priests that the church was in an hour of self-demolition. He even said he saw himself as a sign of conflict. There is no doubt that the wave of opposition to Pope Paul after his pronouncements on priestly celibacy and birth control have affected him deeply, personally and physically. His gaunt appearance has been worsened by deep dark rings under his eyes. Nearly every week, his voice breaks with emotion during a public audience or a speech. His eyes frequently well with tears. Rumors of the Pope's resignation have cropped up before. In 1966, the pontiff made a special trip to the grave of the only pope in history to resign from office, and he prayed on the grave of Celestino V, who resigned in the 17th century, that he be granted strength to cope with the church problems. Some priests have even predicted the Pope, now 71, will resign at age 75, the age he advised most prelates to retire. The best estimates are that he will continue at least until then, even though the rebellion inside the church has wounded and sounded him. Dennis Redmond, NBC News, Rome, reporting for Monitor.
Don't forget your FTD florist.
My FTD florist?
Reserve Christmas flowers now. He'll deliver them on time. Thank you.
Gilbert's Tijuana Brass and a song with the spirit of the holiday season, My Favorite Things. We certainly hope that Monitor is one of your favorite things every weekend across the nation on NBC. Folks in and around Wilmington, Delaware, hear us on WDEL, the number one station in the first city of the first state. Frank Messer here, back shortly.
Free design. Paul Muriat.
Oscar Gilberto.
Oh, don't be afraid, you can call me.
The Mamas and Papas.
Baby, when you want make your mind. Come on, baby.
Frank Sinatra.
So I'm down, and so I'm out. But so are many others.
And WNBC's own chairman of the board, Big Wilson, 5 to 9 a.m. Jim Gerhart, noon to 3. Charlie Brown, 3 to 7 p.m. And yours truly, Jack Hayes, 9 to noon. With more of the hip sound for swingers. All day, every day. Right here on WNBC, Radio 66, New York. You'll dig it. Brad Crandall has something to say, and he says it. Weeknights, 9 to midnight, on WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
Smitty, he needs to be pitied now, because That's the same guy that used to bully me in school. But then Smitty said the wrong thing when he brought up Becky's name, and Vance finally stood and said, "Boy, what did you say?" And it did my heart so much good when Vance hit old Smitty, and it took two of Smitty's friends to carry him away. Well, Vance left the very next morning. It was cold and it was snowing. And from the first, life hadn't been much fun. But he had finally made a stand, and he'd become a self-made man. And incidentally, he had just turned 21.
Yes, we're on monitor right now, and I'm Frank Messer.
Go north or south, go east or west, just get in your car and you'll head for the best. Wherever you are, you'll find Monitor on ABC.
It may be some comfort for you to know that the youthful rebellion and juvenile delinquency we hear about and read about every day is not the exclusive property of our country. The director of Russia's Institute for the Study and Prevention of Crime announced this week that they share the problem. He added, more than half the minors committing crimes are not sober at the time. So it looks like they've got double trouble. Jan Warwick sings the title song from Broadway's brightest new hit.
Promises, promises, I'm up through with promises, promises now. I don't know how I got the nerve to walk out. If I shout, remember, I feel free. Now I can look at myself and be proud. I'm laughing out loud. Oh, promises, promises, this is where those promises, promises end. I don't pretend that what was wrong can be right. Every night I sleep now, no more lies. Things that I promised myself fell apart, but I found my heart. Oh, promises, they're kind of promises, can't just destroy a life.
Total Male, a gentleman's cologne, aftershave, and new spray cologne. He loves Chanel for men, and you for giving it.
Next, On the Line with Bob Considine, brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
President-elect Dick Nixon has asked me to do him a favor. No kidding.
He wants me to help him fill the approximately 200,000 new jobs that will open up when he takes office next month. I'm honored. So must be the other thousands who received his form letter appeal. I'll be back with what kind of helpers he wants. First, here's a reminder from Mutual of Omaha.
Baby, baby, baby child, soft and sweet, meek and mild.
Getting ready for a new baby is a wonderful experience. It's a time of warmth and closeness and love. And a time for lots of medical bills you won't have to worry about if you have Mutual of Omaha Health Insurance. The Mutual of Omaha man right in your own community can show you how all-round family protection can pay more of your hospital and doctor bills, and even up to $600 in maternity benefits. It makes sense, doesn't it, to be ready for the high cost of hospital and doctor bills. And it's so easy when you count on the man from Mutual of Omaha, the company that babies you, so you can baby your baby.
As dear as you are.
The President-elect's form letter seeking new faces for his administration notes as follows. I have pledged to bring into this administration men and women who, by their qualities of youthfulness, judgment, intelligence, and creativity, can make significant contributions to our country. I seek the best minds in America to meet the challenges of this rapidly changing world. You, as a leader, at least that's what the letter says, are in a position to know and recommend exceptional individuals. There are a couple of application blanks which Mr. Nixon has asked me to distribute to the exceptional individuals. I've had to assume, therefore, that he doesn't want me, just wants me as a transmission belt to people of youthfulness, judgment, intelligence, and creativity. Well, it will take people of genius to fill out the document entitled Confidential Resume for Federal Government Appointment. Here is some of the information requested of would-be appointees. Is the applicant a citizen? What's his social security number? How many times has he been married? Maiden name of mother? How far did he go in school? Any degrees? How tall is he, she? What does he, she weigh? Number of his, her business phone? And a lovely example of governmental gobbledygook which reads, and I quote, career history. Please account for all time since high school. Include beginning and ending salaries for each position indicating basic responsibility and immediate supervisor. Parse that sentence. Also, the applicant will have to list three persons whom he, she believes would recommend him, her for federal office. Also, questions like, have you ever been charged with or convicted of a felony or a serious misdemeanor? Do you have a federal security clearance? Give a list of publications you have authored. State in a brief paragraph what you consider to be your most outstanding achievement. List the time you have spent in Central and South America, Europe, Orient, Africa, Middle East, Far East, Russia, and China. Also, what is your political affiliation? What are your hobbies? And do you have any reservation about making a full disclosure of your financial affairs in case of appointment? Use extra sheets as necessary. I think I'll send the application to a friend who's going to be out of work next June, Chief Justice Earl Warren. This is Bob Considine for Monitor. Now here's something new from Mutual of Omaha.
Baby, baby, baby child, soft and sweet, meek and mild.
A new baby doesn't have to mean new medical bills to worry about if you're insured with Mutual of Omaha. Not when they pay you up to $600 in maternity benefits. Get all the happy facts from the Mutual of Omaha man in your neighborhood. Call him today.
On the Line with Bob Considine is brought to you each weekend by Mutual of Omaha and its life insurance affiliate, United of Omaha, right here on the Monitor Beacon.
So very far away, sure ain't no places fit for people. Why must it be this way?
Stop pollution. Write Clean Water, Washington, D.C.
Jack Hayes, that's me. WNBC listeners,
That's you. Put us all together, and what have you got? The 9 to Noon Show, weekdays, right here on WNBC Radio 66 New York. You'll dig it.
WNBC Radio 66 New York.
You're back with Monitor. Frank Messer here. If you're a bartender and you're out of work, head for the state of Virginia. They have a brand new law allowing liquor to be served by the drink for the first time in 52 years. Result? A sudden statewide bartender shortage. So much so that one enterprising barman in Richmond is offering a two-week course in drink mixing for a cool $79.50. He's already got 20 students and a waiting list of 60 more. Yes, Virginia, there is a difference between a martini and a Singamore sling. At 15 minutes before the Monitor Hour, a song from the busiest group at the Christmas season, the Lettermen.
Put your head on my shoulder.
Support of the March Against Muscular Dystrophy. A few facts first. Muscular dystrophy attacks mostly children, cutting short their lives. Their only hope lies in research, and your dollars are urgently needed to keep the scientists working full speed. The fight against muscular disease is now underway in your own town. Please join the fight by giving as generously as you can when the volunteer comes to your door. Thanks. Next, a Monitor News feature. A miraculous story of rescue and survival after 6 days wandering in the jungle-like Florida Everglades. 26-year-old Wayne Waldrop Jr. narrowly escaped death when he crash-landed a rented plane in the Everglades on November 29th. Finally, spotted by park rangers, Waldrop is now home after recuperating at Homestead Hospital. We contacted him earlier today on the Monitor open line and asked him for an account of those 6 days in the jungle. How did he stay alive, avoiding panic and despair?
Well, I did a lot of praying. I'd say that had a lot to do with it. And mostly just determination to get out of there, just stay alive. Being in the kind of country that I was, in terrain, I figured I wouldn't be picked up for quite a while. So I thought it best to move on out. So I grabbed the compass and the mirror out of the aircraft and started heading north through the mangroves. And I think I had the compass with me about a day before I lost it in the swamps. And from then on, I just followed the sun for the next 6 days. There were quite a few snakes and gators. More or less, they came out right after nightfall. Gators I came across quite frequently in the daytime, but I managed to go around them pretty well. I guess I survived them mostly at night because I slept two nights in a tree to avoid the snakes and alligators that were crawling around in the swamps. There was no dry land, so I had no other place to sleep at the time anyways until I got to a little higher ground. Hunger at the time didn't seem to faze me too much. I was more or less determined to find my way out of there and get out of the swamp. That was the main thing on my mind. I had visions of steaks and what have you for food, but my main concern was just getting out of the swamps at the time and just keeping my north heading until I get picked up or sighted. Well, everything kept going along fine. I thought I was keeping my north heading pretty well. My mind seemed to be functioning well. I was finally spotted on the sixth day by a ranger plane that was circling, checking out the wildlife in the area. And I took off my shirt, flashed it at him. I tried to flash my signal mirror at him, but irregardless, he saw me and circled me for about 30 minutes and until an airboat came in. And the airboat came in with two other rangers. They took me back to the ranger station. From there, they put me in the truck and took me back to the hospital in Homestead.
Wayne Waldrop Jr. of Miami, a man who's lucky to be alive after crash landing his plane and wandering through jungle Everglades for 6 days. Happiest woman in the Waldrop home, his mother, who had just given him up for dead when he was spotted by park rangers. This has been another Monitor News feature, keeping you in touch all weekend. Monitor, on the move now, pausing for just 6 seconds as we switch to Los Angeles for our regular auto racing feature, World of Wheels, with Keith Jackson.
Hello, everybody. Keith Jackson in Los Angeles with Wynn's World of Wheels, brought to you by Wynn's famous friction proofing, Wynn's Charge, and the thousands of dealers who feature the entire family of Wynn's products that keep your car going strong. The turbine is dead. The controversial machine which shook the racing fraternity to its very core, which confounded its owners and drivers by sitting on the pole for most of its starts, but in each case failing mechanically at some time during the race. Last Sunday, both turbines wound up on the wall, shattered, and when the last light was turned off at the Riverside Raceway in California, the red turbines dangled from the hooks of wrecking machines. Parnelli Jones owns one of the turbines, with Joe Leonard driving last Sunday in the Rex Maze. Well up in the race, Parnelli waved Joe into the pits. He turned his car over to Mario Andretti, who was trying so vainly and so hard to win the USAC driving title. I asked Parnelli why.
Well, I know how much, how much it meant to Mario. And, of course, Bobby Unser and I are very good friends, too. In fact, on Thanksgiving night, they both drove my midgets, and I like both of them. They're very good friends. And, of course, the fact that I'm also employed somewhat by Firestone, I had to do my best to help Firestone try and win the championship.
Mario had no time in the turbine cockpit. Perhaps that contributed to the accident, which ironically took the other turbine car out of the race at the same time. Parnelli says,
the way I saw it, Art Pollard got into the turn nine a little hard and went up high into the gray stuff, and Mario was about three car lengths behind him. He then drove down into the turn just like he would normally in any car, and coming out of the gray stuff back toward the center of the turn, came Art Pollard, and they really run into each other. And I would have to say it was more Art's fault, and I like Art too, but I'd have to say it was more Art's fault than it was Mario's.
Will Mario participate financially in the repair of the car?
No, he will not. Actually, it's kind of just one of those things. It's our problem, and we'll have to fix it the best way we can.
I thought it was a remarkable moment of sportsmanship. Well, Sunday, the 1st of December, was a great day for Dan Gurney at Riverside International Raceway when he won the Rex Maze 300. course, Dan had a lot going for him. A top-notch crew and a car that wouldn't quit. And he had something else, too. He protected his car's cooling system with Winn's radiator stop leak. The last thing he wanted to have to worry about was the car's cooling system at speeds approaching 200 miles an hour. Dan Gurney knew you could spring a leak in the radiator or cooling system from the extreme pressures that build up, or perhaps even from a small object thrown up off the track. Winn's radiator stop leak stops trouble before it starts, seals leaks and cracks in radiators and blocks, stops head gasket seepage, reduces rust and scale. Winn's radiator stop leak protects your car's entire cooling system. It worked for Dan Gurney. It will work for you. Get Winn's radiator stop leak wherever you get gas or service. One of the many keep your car going strong products from Winn's. The turbine engine is gone from USAC Racing. Too many limits put on it. Parnelli Jones will try to put a piston engine in the same chassis. Here's why.
Well, I feel that the chassis is really the big asset, or has been the big asset to that particular car, and I think that the fact that the jet engine has no deacceleration and has such a throttle delay time is one of the great reasons that we've never won a race. We've had to put so much strain on the chassis and everything, so I think that when we put the piston engine in the car, the chassis handling characteristics as good as they are, that the other fellows just might wish that it had the jet engine back in it.
What kind of engine, Parnelli?
Well, I would kind of like to put a Ford engine in it, the turbocharged Ford.
And the concern over ruling out four-wheel drive, certainly shared by the Jones boy from Torrance, California.
Well, first of all, I think it would be a loss to the United States Auto Club if they got rid of four-wheel drive. I'm hoping and thinking that they might change their decision on that. And if they don't, would be more likely that we might just run the car somewhere else.
In a word, Parnelli's red car is not headed for the museum. And that wraps it for this edition of Winn's World of Wheels, brought to you by Winn's famous friction proofing, Winn's Charge, and the entire family of Winn's products that keep your car going strong. Ask for them by name wherever you get gas or service. This is Keith Jackson in Los Angeles, reporting for Monitor Sports.
World of Wheels is heard every Saturday and Sunday evening on Monitor.
Don't forget your FTD florist.
My FTD florist?
Reserve Christmas flowers now. He'll deliver them on time.
Soulful Strut. It's new, and it was played by a group called Young Holt Unlimited. It should be graduation day tomorrow for Marine Carl Herring. He's already tried four times in the past 11 years to make it through Marine boot camp. A broken knee, a broken arm, and meningitis have all conspired to keep Herring from finishing basic training at San Diego. But it looks as if the 28-year-old father of two is finally going to boot the boot camp habit tomorrow. Unless something happens. Robert Keene is standing by in Washington with news of what's happening at this hour, so stay right on the line. I'm Frank Messer.
Confucius says it's wise to stay within the sea.
One voluntary hospital of the United Hospital Fund is located in an area where many newcomers to New York live. To better acquaint these people with the services the hospital can offer, they were invited to a hospital happening recently. Here, they joined in lively discussion groups and found out that the hospital needed them as much as they needed the hospital. When neighbors learn that they are a part of the picture, they are no longer strangers. Your gift to the United Hospital Fund can be your way of taking part in the work of 78 great voluntary institutions. United Hospital Fund, 3 East 54th Street, New York, 10022.
What NBC News is to the nation, WNBC News is to New York. Worldwide or citywide, our coverage is complete. For in-depth analysis, comprehensive coverage, and the latest details of New York news, New Yorkers turn to WNBC Radio 66, New York.
More refreshing than sleep, the Long John Neville Show. Midnights on WNBC Radio 66, New York.